John chapter 13, verse 21. Our Savior with his disciples is in the upper room. And it says, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in the spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Verse 24, Simon Peter therefore beckoneth to him and saith unto him, tell us who it is of whom he speaketh. Now, to whom is Peter speaking? Look at verse 23. There was at the table, reclining in Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. This is the one that Peter asked the question. And so, verse 25, he, leaning back as he was on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus therefore answereth, he it is, for whom I shall dip the sop and give it him, and so forth. Now, chapter 19, verse 25. These things therefore the soldiers did, but there were standing by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. Chapter 20. This is the day of the resurrection, and the women come to the tomb. And verse 1 says, now on the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, while it was yet dark, unto the tomb, and seeth the stone taken away from the tomb. She runneth therefore, and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciples, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we know not where they have laid him. And both these men run to the tomb. And it says in verse 8, then entered in therefore the other disciple also, who came first to the tomb, and he saw and believed. In chapter 21, after these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and they go fishing. The Lord Jesus is on the shore, and verse 5, Jesus therefore saith unto them, children, have ye aught to eat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. That disciple therefore whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. And now, the last scripture, look at verse 20. Peter has just been told as to what's going to happen to him. And in verse 20 it says, Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also leaned back on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, therefore, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, how few are the references to the life of the Lord that thou hast given us, for they are precious few, and we thank you for them. They have thrilled our souls, and they have been enough to make us believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing we have life in his name. We thank you for the portions that we've read today. We pray, our Father, that having read them, we shall understand the purpose of thy Spirit placing them in the Word of God. Prepare the hearts of those who speak, of those who listen, the lips of him who speaks, and give us a profitable, enjoyable time. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. I have so much to tell you about love that I shan't be able to tell you all about it, even in the whole month of September, because I've been talking about it the past 2 months, and most of this love is centered in John 13 through 17. This is known as the Upper Room Discourse. But what happens is this: things that God has not told us were in existence up until that time were in existence, but now for the first time, the Lord tells these things to the disciples. And among the many things I want to tell you about, the thing that I want to tell you about this morning is about the disciple whom Jesus loved. There's only one disciple of the apostles that is specified as being the disciple whom Jesus loved. You say, why? The first verse of John 13 says, Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Yes. It also says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But I'm not talking about the all-inclusive love of God and the all-inclusive love of Christ. I tell you that there was only one apostle in the whole Bible that is specified as being the disciple whom Jesus loved. It may be a little ambiguous because it speaks about him and another disciple, but I read you all the references concerning this disciple whom Jesus loved. And if I said to you, tell me, what is his name? Tell me his name that he tells us is his name in the Gospel of John. You would say, well, I don't remember it. Of course you don't, because he doesn't tell us his name. That's why we know his name, because when you read the other Gospels, they tell us his name. But he never tells us his name. But he always designates himself, starting in John chapter 13, as the disciple whom Jesus loves. And that's beautiful for this reason. Have you sung, as I have sung from a child, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so? Well, when is the last time you sang that with meaning, with a heart burning with gratitude and joy, Jesus loves me? Have you done that recently? Well, John did. He said it 5 times. When he talked about himself, he said, I am the disciple whom Jesus loved. And there are very few of you out there who think of yourself as the disciple whom Jesus loved, because you may not be the disciple whom Jesus loved. You may say, yes, I'm included in those, Jesus having loved his own. I know that. Why, this is the love of Christ that passeth knowledge. But as for a special love, that is something that is out of my realm, and I know little about it. I'm afraid it's true concerning most of us, because not all of us, being his own who are loved in a special way. I do not know if you are loved in a special way, because you have to do something. You have to have become something. To have become something, if Jesus is going to love you in a special way. And this is what Christians hate. Do you know this? That in the coming days, some of you are going to be over 5 cities and some over 10 cities. and some of you are going to be over nothing. You say, but we're all alike. God loves us all, and there are no distinctions. Why? There are constantly distinctions. In the coming day, someone is going to be on the right hand of the Lord, and someone is going to be on the left hand. Are you? You say, well, everybody. No. There are two specified places, and the Lord Jesus acknowledges. One on the right hand and one on the left. There are going to be some who are saved so as by fire, but we keep insisting Jesus loves us all. There is no distinction. But there are constantly distinctions set forth in the Word of God. And only certain disciples can say in a special way, though all of us who have been cleansed by the precious blood of Christ can say in a general way, Jesus loves me. Only one ever said concerning himself, I am the disciple whom Jesus loved. And you have to do something to have that designation. First of all, you have to be saved because in his epistle he tells us we love because he first loved us. But having been enabled to love, it does not mean that you're going to love. That is not going to be characteristic of you. That is so sad. The 10 lepers, you remember them, all of them were cleansed. But how many of them returned to give glory to God? How many of them received that special revelation concerning his condition? Other than the one, you say, only the Samaritan, and yet the 10 were cleansed. And in like manner, all of you have been saved. You are loved the same way that I am loved, as being those that are Christ, having loved his own. But I do not know if I am among those who are specially loved, because I must do something to be specially loved by the Lord Jesus. The Savior said that. He says this, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Do you love the Lord? You say, oh yes, I feel. Do you keep the commandments of the Lord? You say, well, so often I go astray and I'm not much about obedience to the things that are taught in the Bible, then you do not love the Lord. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And yet Christians want to say, because I have a sentimental feeling in my heart, and when I hear about the cross, somehow I get emotional, I love the Lord. The Savior never says that. He says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Do you love the Lord? You say, well, I keep a lot of the Lord's commandments. And so you, by your own confession, say, I do not know if I love the Lord. I know I love him. Yes, he died for my sins. Yes, I love him in that respect. Of course you do. But you love him in a special way? And does he love you in a special way? Because here is what he says in that upper room discourse. And listen to it carefully. When the Savior said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I see. If we love the Lord Jesus, then the Father is going to love us in a special way. And it says, we will come and make our abode with him. The Holy Spirit is in you on the ground of grace. On the day of Pentecost, without you having done anything, the Spirit of God came and indwelt the disciples, and now, upon believing, you are indwelt and you are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. But the Savior says, if you love me, if a man love me, then my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode in him. And so this special visitation of the Lord Jesus Christ making his abode in the heart of his own is not on the basis of grace, but it's on the basis of reciprocating the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so not one of you who is saved cannot say, the Spirit of God does not indwell me. He is in you on the ground of faith in Christ. But unless you have loved the Lord and shown it and manifested it, you cannot say, the Lord Jesus dwells in me and the Father dwells in me. If that's so, then it is meaningless when the Savior says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And if a man love me, I will love him. My Father will love him. We will come and take up our abode in him. Do you not understand that? It says, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my commandments. It is just that clear. And so there is a special love. And John, having first been loved, it says, we love because he first loved us. And therefore, John is loved because he loves in a special way. And the Savior is aware of that love, and he gives special rewards to those that love him in a special way. I'm going to illustrate this because you must see it. Some of you as yet may not understand how Christ can be in you in one way and not in you in another. If I ask you, is Christ in the church? You say, yes. Is he in the believer? You say, yes. Well, what does he mean when he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock? If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. If he's on the inside, why is he standing knocking at the door? You say, that's strange. If somebody's on the inside, he's not standing knocking at the door. Of course he's not. Because as to the matter of experience and fellowship and enjoyment, your sins put the Lord Jesus on the outside. But your response to the overtures of the Lord Jesus cause him to open the door, and then he will come in and fellowship with you. He will sup with you and you with him. And unless you open the door, do not think that the Lord Jesus is fellowshipping with you and loving you in a special way, and you love him in a special way. He says, I'm on the outside knocking. And that is for the individual, the church, why it's ready to be spewed out of his mouth. But still, if any man, you see, it's the individual. If any man hear my voice. And so if you hear his voice and you respond to the love of the Lord Jesus and love him, then you will be able to say with certainty and enjoyment and realization that I am a disciple whom Jesus loves. And that's the reason we go through life with a false humility. I'm not worthy of being loved. I don't know if Jesus loves me. So many people go through life that way. It is unnecessary. Not one of us is worthy of being loved. However, realizing that, having been saved, we can acknowledge that we are worthy of being loved. This is what David says, and you know his failures in the Old Testament, but this is what he says. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Now, does God delight in you? You say, these are strange things. Tell me about the Father delighting in the Son. No, I want to hear about the Lord delighting in you and the Lord loving you and you loving the Lord in a special way. You say, this makes me uncomfortable. Why? Of course it does. Because evangelicals and those that preach salvation by grace through faith, all they want to hear is what Jesus did for me, how he loves me, his grace keeps me, he ever lives to intercede for me. They do not want to hear the responsibility that flows from all of that love of the Lord Jesus to them. But unless you do respond to that love of the Lord Jesus, you are not going to be among those that can be designated a disciple whom Jesus loves. And you will never enter into the enjoyment of the love of the Lord Jesus because he's standing at the door and knocking instead of being inside supping with you and you with him. Salvation is one thing. Fellowship is another. And unless a Christian responds daily to that desire of the Lord Jesus to enter in, he is not going to be among those special disciples whom Jesus loves. I simply tell you that to show you that the Scripture teaches it. Not that we're all the same, that in a coming day we're all going to be the same, no distinctions between us. There are ever so many distinctions between us. Each one is distinct. But that is what is so delightful. I do not have to look at you and try to become like you. You may have good features, and the Lord may love you for those, but I do not have to try to imitate you to be loved, because the Lord loves certain people for special reasons, and I can be loved in a special way because of what I am. And that is what thrills my soul, that I do not have to look at all of these special ones and try to become like them, but if I excel in a certain area, it says that the Lord has given certain gifts. And I look at these and I say, why, he's given all the gifts. Well then, let me excel in the gift that he's given me and not worry about someone who has a different gift. God loves different ones for different reasons, And in this instance, he loved John because I believe John loved him and had the capacity of being loved. And some people do not have that capacity. You say, how is that? Well, there are some that are just that way. There are some, if you try to draw near them, embrace them, if I tried to do what was scriptural, if I tried, as the meeting was over, to come up and give you a holy kiss, what would you do? Some people would be startled, scared to death. And yet it says it over and over again. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Why, the nearest thing is this, you see. That's it. Put out your hand. That's the nearest thing. And some people I get close enough to embrace and give them a hug, but others, they would back off. But the Bible speaks about brotherly love, and on occasion, there is a double use of this word love, but some people do not have that capacity because perhaps they've been brought up a certain way, they have a certain personality, but understand, the Lord has a certain disposition, and that disposition is that He wants to be loved, and those of you who can accept the Lord's love, the Lord in turn will accept your love, and it's something marvelous that is missing because of this. In the Bible, you only read of one relationship, such as that of Jonathan and David. And yet, David says, thy love to me was wonderful, surpassing the love of women. And this is nothing effeminate about it. But there can be a true love among men that has nothing to do with sin and defilement. A true fervent love between David and Jonathan and between the Lord Jesus and his disciples. But you say, I can never enter into that. Well, perhaps you should cultivate it because there are privileges that are theirs who are loved by the Lord Jesus that are not the privileges of those who are not loved in a special way by the Lord Jesus. You must remember that. Because if you love the Lord, as the Lord says, who hath first given to me and I am his debtor? There is no such thing as the Lord genuinely being loved by his disciple and his not returning that love to his disciple. That's why I quoted to you that verse. It says, if a man love me, my Father will love him. And my Father and I, we will come and make our abode with him. And so anytime you love the Lord is going to love you back. He is not going to be, as it says, who have first given to the Lord. And the Lord is his debtor. The Lord will return. And so in this man's life, of whom we've read, that's why I read you all five scriptures, I show you the rewards of a disciple whom Jesus loved. And the first and greatest enjoyment is this, the realization, the inward knowledge and certainty that Jesus loves me. I am a disciple whom Jesus loved. When is the last time that that thrilled your soul? Well, John said it over and over again. And I purposely read all five verses because five times he is spoken of as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And in these places, he speaks of the love of Jesus. Is at the table in the upper room, at the table, at the cross, in the home, in the boat, and on the shore. Five different places. And yet, in five different places, the location makes no difference. In all of those places, John says, I am the disciple whom Jesus loved. So what does it mean? You say, well, perhaps I could enter into the love of Jesus if I were at that table, if I were at the Lord's Supper, then I could enter into Jesus loving me. Fine. But you find him also by the cross. And he says, at the cross, the disciple whom Jesus loved. You say, but well, when we get away from that, and we are discouraged, and we are in our home, in his home, it says, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And some of you will appreciate this. What about if you're in a boat fishing? In a boat when they are fishing, it says, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And when you come to shore, again, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Love. Well then, it means that no matter where you are, you can be aware of the love of Jesus for you individually. That's thrilling. when the Savior said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world," then no matter where you are privileged to enjoy the love of the Lord Jesus. Some say, "Well, I will enjoy Lord's Day morning at the Lord's Supper, as in John 13, at the table." Well, that's entirely wrong. You can enjoy and be aware of the Lord's loving you when you're in a boat fishing, as well as when you are at the Lord's Supper near to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I read you all these verses, these five different places. Why do you think God gives these five different places? Because it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, it makes no difference where you are in the world. You can be conscious of the love of Jesus for you. But so often, perhaps you say, well, if I leave this, many people call it a house of God, or leave the sanctuary, then somehow the love of Jesus gets thin and is diluted. That's unnecessary. John knows nothing of that. He was aware of the love of Jesus in a boat as he was in the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that is significant. Can you cultivate that? To be aware that Jesus loves you as much away from a religious gathering as in a religious gathering. Well, it's possible. So this is one of the privileges of being loved by Jesus. You know that he loves you, but this, it is nearness to the Lord Jesus. And this is most important. I have to laugh the way that some of the things people wanted and they were denied, somehow God got around to giving it to them. You remember how Moses wanted to enter the promised land, but he had misrepresented the Lord, and the Lord said, "You're not getting into the promised land." But on the Mount of Transfiguration, you find Moses in the promised land. And so he got in, even though God said, "You're not getting in." He got in that way. And in like manner, you remember James and John saying, "I want to be on your right hand and your left hand in the kingdom." And the Lord Jesus said, "I'm sorry, but it's not mine to give. It's whom it's been arranged of my Father." But do you know who's at his right hand in the upper room? That's John. He's at his right hand. And there are some things that the love of the Lord Jesus can do because you love him and he loves you. But the place at his right hand and at his left hand in a coming kingdom, that depends on what you do for the Lord, for whom it has been arranged of my Father. We won't go into that now. But remember that John is at the right hand of the Lord Jesus. And so he wanted to be there in the coming kingdom. And the Lord Jesus said, "It may be, it may not be. It just depends." But now at the Lord's Supper, he is at his right hand. You'll find that this word that is spoken of, it's not like our sitting in chairs, but there is a reclining. And therefore, if the Lord is here and he's reclining this way, John is here at his right hand, reclining that way. Because it's the only way that he, leaning back on Jesus' breast, said, "Lord, who is it?" He has to be at his right hand. And Peter, the one who has been given the keys of the kingdom, you'll find that he is not on his right hand. And so, first of all, I've told you that there are privileges by being loved of the Lord Jesus, and one of them is nearness. And the other one is, you know that the Lord Jesus loves you, then you feel boldness, I say not temerity, but boldness to come and be near the Lord Jesus, and even lay your head upon his breast and ask him questions. Have you ever felt that near to the Lord Jesus? You say, "I'm afraid that I'm like Peter. I remember that Peter said, 'Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord.'" That's true. Some of us feel that way. But some of us know the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. And therefore, having been cleansed, we draw nigh, it says. And John is prepared to draw that nigh. And because the Lord Jesus loves him, he says, "You may sit on my right hand." And John feels perfectly at home in placing his head upon his breast and asking him a question. And that is the second privilege of love. It is this. It is the intimacy and the special revelations that come from being near to the Lord. If you love the Lord, he is going to reward you in a special way. This nearness made it possible. And notice, Peter has to say, ask him who it is. How did Peter know that the Lord would tell John? John knew, and so he asked, and the Lord told him something that nobody else knew. The Lord told John, first of all, the disciple whom he loved, that it was Judas Iscariot who was going to betray him. He is near the Lord, and it says this, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, but I see that the secret of the Lord is also with them that love him, and he will make known unto them his covenant, his secrets. He has things to tell. And some Christians go through life in a daze. They do not know what's happening their whole life. I wish I knew of the will of God. One of the best ways to know the will of God is to love the Lord and be loved by the Lord, and then you can ask him, and the Lord will give you answers. But unless you love him, you're going to be like Peter. You have to do it through a mediator. John, ask him who it is, and then John asks and comes and tells you. But thank God there are some who can ask the Lord, and the Lord will answer them, and then they in turn can answer you, give you the answer. But remember, John is the disciple whom Jesus loved, and he is near the enjoyment of the love of Christ and also of the intimate secrets of Christ. And that's why some know things. Let me illustrate it again to show you how perceptive a man that's loved by the Lord is. When Peter ran to the empty tomb and went in and looked all around, he knew nothing. He went away the same that he had come, in ignorance. It says that finally, John, who had looked in at first, he went in, and he looked around, and he said, the Lord's risen from the dead. You see the perception? Again in the boat, here is Peter with John. Peter's fishing, and the Lord Jesus is talking to them in the boat. Peter doesn't know who it is, but as soon as the Lord says, cast your net on the right side, and the fish are caught, John says, it is the Lord. Nobody else knew it. But immediately he perceived it. And so there are some who love the Lord and are loved by the Lord, and they have a greater degree of perception about the things of God. You say, well, I wish I had it. Try loving the Lord. Try getting near to him. Why is it that if I tell you this, you're thrilled? The shoulders of the Lord Jesus are to support you. The strength of Christ is at your disposal. He put that lamb on his shoulders and took it home. You say, yes, Jesus, shoulders support me. And when I'm sinking, the right hand of Jesus goes forth and lifts me from the waves. Well, then, the hand of Jesus is at your disposal. But it says that John put his head upon the breast of the Lord Jesus. His breast is at your disposal as well. That's the love of Christ. Why is it that you don't talk about that? You say, well, that's too much about me. I see. To get you home safely, I'm glad to know about the shoulders of Jesus. And when I'm sinking beneath the waters, I'm glad to know about the hand of Jesus. Well, what about the breast of Jesus? What about your returning the love of Jesus? You say, I don't know much about that. Why, of course. That's because of your response. That's why you'll have more at 11 o'clock service than you will have at a remembrance meeting. Why? Because the shoulders, the hand of Jesus, but the bosom of Jesus, when you come to return his love and enjoy the love of Jesus, simply enjoy the Lord himself. Why, that's something that takes working on. That takes spirituality. And not many of us have that. Grace, yes. Salvation by grace through faith, yes. But, as Paul said, I labored, and yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. It is what God's grace has done with you since you've been saved. What God's love has done with you since you have been saved. And so, remember this. Perceptivity. You know. You enjoy. You are able to see things. It says men's hearts are going to be failing them for fear. Whereas, when the others are still in ignorance about Christ being risen from the dead, John knows it. He hasn't seen the Lord, but he's seen the empty tomb. And he has this perception. But let me tell you this. You must see it. You've been telling me about loving the Lord. Well, then, if the Lord loves me, I have special privileges. That means then that I'll never have any pain or sorrow. Just the opposite. Here is what he says in the book of Revelation. He said, I, John, your brother and partaker with you in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patience, that are in Jesus was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. You see, the tribulation that is in Jesus. But Jesus loves you, John. John says, it does not mean that I escape tribulation. Some people think it's so, that if Jesus loves you, why, you will never have any tribulation. You will never be abandoned and exiled and cut off from all your friends. Oh, if I preach the word and if I testify for the Lord Jesus and he loves me, these things will never happen. You're wrong. That's why God shows us what his love is. So often we interpret his love the way we want to. But listen to what Christ says in that same book of Revelation. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Repent. And so your love is not Jesus' love. Your love is like David's love for Absalom. He had never said anything to his son to the contrary. Never do anything to cross your son Absalom because you love him. And love never does that. The Lord Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And it says the same about God the Father in Hebrews chapter 12. And so, John, I love you. Well, John didn't say, well, what am I doing on the Isle of Patmos? Why am I abandoned? Why am I cast off here? I told you that the Lord can make himself known anywhere. And he was in the Spirit. He became in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And then the Lord appeared to him. And he saw the Lord again. And so will you remember that? Jesus loves me. I did not want to put you under an illusion that everything will be well if he does. But if he loves you, when things like those that happened to John on the Isle of Patmos happen, John is still able to say, I am the disciple whom Jesus loves. And that's the important thing. Whether you are in the upper room on his bosom, or whether you're in a boat, or whether you're in the home, it makes no difference. Jesus loves you, and you can be aware of that love. Jesus loves us all. Thank God for that. But let me strive by God's grace to be a disciple whom Jesus loves. Let us pray. Now, Father, how wide and how varied is the love of Jesus Christ. Thou dost know that all of us who have been saved by his grace know of that love. Thou dost know how few of us here are like John, the beloved apostle, disciple, who know that love as he did, and yet it can be ours. Let us realize that. You have told us that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Let us enter into those blessings. The land is ours. Go in and take it. We pray, Father, that having had everything done for us by Christ, let us now understand that by that grace and his empowering, we are to do things for him. And that love that he bestowed upon us, we are to return to him, and then he shall love us in a special way. Let us not be satisfied with saying, Jesus loves me because the Bible tells me so. But let us understand that Jesus loves us in a special way because we have loved him, and he has manifested this special love to us. Let us not be ordinary disciples, but by thy grace, Father, let us be special disciples.